Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is living in his church. Jesus is living in his church. Jesus is living. Jesus is living. Jesus is living in his church. Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth. Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth. He's coming back to claim his own. He's coming back to claim his own. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back to claim his own. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to the Lord.
Good morning, church. It's good to see you today. As we gather together and give the Lord all that we have, I'd like for us to start in Psalm 99 and remember all that God is. You know, so often we grade ourselves and we grade others, and we are tempted to grade God in what we have received. And it is good to remember that we are God's children, that we are saved by his grace, and that God, for who he is worthy of all worship and praise. Psalm 99. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. The king in his might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among the priests. Samuel also was among those who called upon his name. They called to the Lord, and he answered them. In the pillar of the cloud he spoke to them. They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we gather together in your name because you are holy. You are above everything that we know and see. Your power and your glory flow to everything in creation. And we recognize and we confess that you sit above us, that you are the ruler of all things. Father, we are tempted as those around us to go our own way. The fact that you are a merciful God and not a tyrant gives us freedom. And yet, this allows people to choose. Father, we choose you because we know that as a merciful God, you are also bringing justice. We know that you have set a day in which your rule will be the only option. We know that you have set a day in which justice will set all things right, where there will only be light and no darkness, where all things will be exposed, where you and yours will remain. We praise your name, Father, because we trust your word. We have come to know who you are and who you have made us to be. So our prayer today is that you are exalted in the songs that we sing, in the words that we say, in the spiritual sacrifice that we offer, in the meal that we partake. Father, may you be blessed in all things we do. And may you fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may live our lives and walk each day as close to your presence and your holiness as our faith allows. Blessed be your name. We offer this prayer through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Holy Lord, most holy Lord, you alone are worthy of my praise. Oh, holy Lord, most holy Lord, with all of my heart I sing. Great are you, Lord, worthy of praise. Your holy and true, great are you, Lord, most holy Lord. With my heart I sing, great are you, Lord, worthy of praise. Holy and true, great are you, Lord, most holy Lord, great. Great are you, Lord, most holy Lord. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure I seek. You are my all in all. seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. 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 Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name.
Psalm before our scripture reading and prayer.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord, a common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's word. When I look up to the heaven and I see the rainbow's beauty and the stars shining brightly in the sky, I see a joy never ending and a love everlasting. We can live every day in God's true light. When I look back to the garden and I see the Savior praying for a bond that would make his people strong, I know that God heard his praying and he answered. At Calvary, Jesus died so that we could sing their song. A common love for each other, common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord.
Thank you, Steve. Wonderful thoughts. John 12, 44 through 50. John 12, 44 through 50. And Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who that sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so whoever believes in me may not look or remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge them, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge them all on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment. What to say and what to speak, and I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." Would you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for a beautiful day that you have chosen to gather us here in your presence to praise you, to hear your word, to be thankful for the many blessings that you have bestowed on us. Our minds cannot comprehend what you do in milliseconds that we cannot do in a lifetime. We pray that we are more mindful of your presence with us every day. And we thank you so much for gathering us in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, goodness.
Psalm for communion, preparing our minds for taking the Lord's Supper.
When we meet in sweet communion, where the feast divine is spread, hearts are brought in closer union, while partaking of the bread. Precious feast, all else surpassing, wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, "Do this in my memory." God so loved, what wondrous measure, love, and gave the best of them, bought us with that matchless treasure. Yea, for us his life was given. Precious feast, all else surpassing, wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, "Do this in my memory." Feast divine, all else surpassing, precious blood for you and me. While we sup, Christ gently whispers, "Do this in my memory." Precious feast, all else surpassing, wondrous love
As we remember Jesus this morning, I'd like to read from 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I was reading verse 2, and the word that stood out to me was propitiation, a word, again, you only hear in church and when you read the Bible, not really sure what it might mean. I know it has something to do with sacrifice, and I know it has something to do with atonement. So to satisfy my curiosity, I backed up another paragraph in 1 John chapter 1 now. And I read, starting in verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. This is the message," John says, "that he has received from Jesus himself, and he proclaims, along with the other apostles, God is light, his character is pure, and his character is holy. And in him there is no darkness." Verse 6, "If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." So if we walk in darkness, it is a lie. We are living a lie. We are not practicing the truth. Verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and his blood and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." To walk in darkness is a lie. To walk in light is fellowship with God himself. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Blood speaks of, again, of a sacrifice, but this is a sacrifice that makes us clean. It is a sacrifice that cleanses. Verse 8, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we deny sin, we are lying. If we confess sin, we have forgiveness, and we have cleansing. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And we need both of these. We need both forgiveness and we need cleansing. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Then chapter 2, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world." He is the propitiation. He is a cleansing sacrifice, a sacrifice that allows us to have fellowship with our pure and holy Father. Our Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we are thankful for this bread. We are thankful for the sacrifice that it represents. And we are thankful for the fellowship that we have with you as we eat this bread. In Jesus' name, amen. After supper, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and drink, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood, which is given for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this each time you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, we are thankful for this cup. We are thankful for the covenant that it represents, the forgiveness and the cleansing that it represents that we have in your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's now pray for the offering. Father, we're thankful that you for the things you have given us. We acknowledge that all we have comes from you and that you have blessed us all greatly. And we thank you for this opportunity to give to the work of your church. And we pray that what we give will be used in your service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Psalm 4, Michael's lesson. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and Friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men. Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, comforter, keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You get the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here at our weakness you find us falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger
at her brother's memorial service. So I already hugged one person today. I hadn't seen Tony in a while, so Tony got his hug, but I'm going to need you all to pick up the slack since Robert's not here to hug everybody. I gave my one. I'm pretty much out. Yeah, that's all I got in me. So Tony got my hug, so we're going to need to have some hugs after service, but he's not here to spread that joy. All right, we're going to go back to John chapter 12, and we're going to get into some familiar waters that carry deep secrets, which is always exciting. It's always exciting to me when we go into scripture or stories that we know that we are so familiar with, and yet God says, but wait, there's more. Who was that, Ron Popeil? Yeah, the great infomercial guy. But wait, there's more. And that's a great thing about God's word, is every time we go back to it, every time we stay into it, we discover more and more. Let's go to our Father in prayer and see if we can figure some of this out. Our Father in heaven, we are humbled at your holiness. Father, we are humbled every time we open our Bible and try to understand words like propitiation. We are humbled every time we look at the life and example of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and try to walk in his steps. Lord, we know that by our own power and on our own, this will never be accomplished. And so we thank you so much for giving us your Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for forgiving us of our sins and seeing fit to dwell with us, to live with us, to walk with us each and every day. Father, your gifts are truly amazing. And just like we've already recognized this morning, that you can do more in milliseconds than we can accomplish in a lifetime. Father, you are awesome, and your gifts are amazing. And I pray that this morning, that your word will not tickle our ears, but will impact our hearts, so that we can live this week faithful to you, so that we can live this week faithful to our confession, so that we can live this week in your light. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When Jesus Christ entered the world about 2,000 years ago, he found things much like we do today. There's darkness trying to obscure the light. And many people, even if they know the truth, are living in sin leading to death. And this is our challenge in every year, in every time, in every generation. We are surrounded by darkness, and yet we are called to walk in the light of God. We see and we experience so much sin and death, and yet we are called to share the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins, so we do not have to live that way any longer. Kevin read for us at the end of John chapter 12 that Jesus stands up and he yells over the din of a crowd that he has brought light into the world. He says, I have brought light in the world so you don't have to live in the dark anymore. Now, as believers, we know this to be true, and yet as believers, we also struggle with living this truth. That we've all had our times where we want to walk in the light, we want to live and do what is right, we want to live according to Jesus' example and what's in God's Word, and yet still sin and darkness are crouching so closely. And we've also known the effects at times when we have stumbled, when we have done what is wrong. We know the effects of seeing someone who has walked away from the light, who has turned their back upon the Father and has chosen to live in darkness rather than light. We know the insidious power of the dark and it hurts our hearts. It breaks our hearts. That we pray and we love and we serve. And some of us, we have people in our lives that we are praying for and loving and serving, and they're in the dark right now. Jesus came to earth to fulfill God's commandment of eternal life. And to accomplish this, Jesus had to go through the same long suffering as the Father does. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. We're coming back to John, but I want us to catch what's happening in 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to take a look at the long suffering of God. This is greater than patience. Whenever we think of patience, it's usually a joke, right? It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is something that where the Spirit dwells, patience is supposed to be growing and flourishing within us. And yet, the joke is, well, don't pray for patience or God will give it to you. And the only way to have patience is to actually go through troubles. It's the only way to learn patience. It's the only way to have patience. And it's the only place where patience is needed. You don't need patience when things are smooth. You don't need patience when things are quick. It is when things are difficult that patience is necessary. It's when things are not coming at our speed or our pace when we have to have patience. We see, Peter notices here, 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to start in verse 4. They will say, where's the promise of his coming? Those who have a hard time, who are struggling with the fact that, wait, you want us to live by faith. You want us to live by what we can't see. And you're trying to get us to all walk in the light. You're trying to get us to all live righteous lives because you say that Jesus Christ is coming again. So where is it? Where is it? And church, remember, this was 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, having to write to the church who is struggling with the fact that they are looking, going, all right, Jesus, you said you'd come back. Where are you? They're still within their lifetime of those who originally witnessed him go away. And here we are 2,000 years ago having to hold on to the same good news, to the same story, to the same faith and saying, okay, because everyone around me is going, really? You're really going to follow Jesus? Where's he at? When's he coming back? I mean, you're holding on to this promise, but we don't see it. For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. They deliberately overlooked this fact that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist, are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. So Peter points out to the fact, he says, hey, you remember that? You remember the flood? Everybody's going along doing their own thing. Noah's building a boat. It never rained before. And God says, yeah, I'm going to have a fresh start. I'm going to have a fresh start. I'm going to make it rain. And so Noah's building this boat. He and his family get on safely, and it does rain. In fact, it rains. It deluges all of creation. The flood causes everything to perish. And he says, it's kind of like that, except what's going to happen in the future for us is that it's going to be fire and not water. It's going to be fire and not water, and judgment is coming, and the ungodly are to be destroyed. We got to read verses 8 and 9. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient. Actually, this word, patient, means long-suffering. Long-suffering. And long-suffering actually means patient endurance of insult. God's not just sitting up there going, da-da-da-da-da, let's see, when should we bring all of justice? When should we throw down the fire? Have we seen enough bad? Have we seen enough good? Are my children ready? Are they crying out for me? Can I not stand to look at all that bad anymore? Because, you know, that's usually the cry of the Christian, right? How long, Lord? I can't stand to look at all this evil. I'm insulted by it. I'm here in the light, and all this darkness just offends me. So please, come back quickly. How much long-suffering do you think the Creator of all things has endured? He made everything, and what did He call it? Good. And what did we choose? Bad. He said, stick with me, because it's all going to be just fine. And we said, I think we're going to go our own way. I think we're going to go and find an alternative. I think we're going to look for some sin. I think we're going to look for some rebellion. I think we're going to get to the point where we just shake our fist at the heavens and question the existence of you altogether. Because you really haven't shown us anything miraculous in so long. You really haven't come down and straighten things out in so long, so why don't we just test you? God is long-suffering. That is, God is facing the insults that all of His creation can throw back up at Him. Hey, you know when you have kids and you take care of their every need, you provide for everything they have, and they don't appreciate it? Or you raise kids and you teach them everything that they should know, and they just spit on your ideas or what your priorities are for your life and for their life, and they just say, no thanks. Sting? A little bit. Now imagine having as many children as the father, and the majority of those children saying, no thanks. Oh, you probably know better than me, but I think I'm going to ride this out on my own. I think I'm going to go my own way, so no thanks. And look, church, that's just among believers. Imagine all of the non-believers who look at the father and say, you know what? You didn't even make me. You didn't make me. You're not even there. I can't see you, so you're not there. You know what? You didn't make me. Slime made me. Ooze made me. Bada boom made me. You're not even a thing. Could you imagine the long suffering and the patience that he has sitting there going, look, kids, when I show up, the bat is going to be large. When I show up, the carrot's going to be gone and the stick is going to hurt. And I don't want to have to give you the stick. Because the stick is the final option. Last chance, the day of destruction of the ungodly. The day when justice reigns. But God sits on his throne. He is not slow to come and rescue us from all this darkness. He is patient, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is being patient so that those who are walking in darkness will have a chance to hear the good news of Jesus and come to the light. Now, here's the amazing thing, church, and we're going to go back to John. The amazing thing is that you and I have actually been called to live the long-suffering of God. You and I have actually been called not to cry out to him and to complain that his time frame is not according to our time frame. You and I have been called to learn how to be patient with others who are causing insult and injury. You and I are called to be patient like Jesus. And so Jesus, right after saying, here is God's commandment, eternal life, look what he does. John chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, as we get into the story, I want you to notice two things this morning. These may be the new things that you notice. I want you to notice what he knows and what he does. Okay? What does Jesus know and what does he do? Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Well, Peter said, well, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands, my head. And Jesus said, the one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, not all of you are clean. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your teacher, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done to you. Truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I'm not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I'm telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly I say to you, whoever receives the one who I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. We see in this story that Jesus was able to do what he had to do because of what he knew. The knowing came first and the doing followed. Jesus knew certain things which allowed and empowered him to be long-suffering and do some other things. In verse 1, he knew that it was time to go to the Father. He knew it was time to go to the Father. So what did he do? He loved those who were entrusted to him all the way to the end. All the way to the end. He didn't get to check out and say, well, you know what? I loved you. I gave you a chance. So I'm done. He didn't do that. He loved them all the way to the end. He knew his time to go back to the Father had come. And what he did about it was he loved those who had been trusted to him all the way to the end. Now, church, I want you to imagine, because this is not just your children that you are raising under your roof. Those who have been entrusted to us and our lives is a little bit bigger circle than our sons and our daughters. That God has given every single one of us people in our lives that he has called us to love. Children, sure. Brothers and sisters in Christ, absolutely. Neighbors, yes. Enemies, uh-huh. So our circle, because we know what Jesus has done for us, because we know who we are in Jesus Christ, we can love others all the way to the end. That is long-suffering. That is patience. That is enduring insult and injury and yet still pouring out mercy and love and grace. That's what it means. Now, if we truly know that we are saved, if we truly know that God has us, then we are free to love as God loves. We are free to be long-suffering. In verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had given him everything. So what did he do? He humbled himself to serve all of his followers. Because he knew that God had put everything in his hands and under his control, he was free to humble himself and to take on not only the form of a servant, he literally tied the towel around his waist and became the house servant. He became the slave that lives under the roof of the family. And he did the slave's work. How could you do such a thing? How can you humble yourself? Because aren't you worried that people will look down upon you? Aren't you worried that people will take advantage of you? Which are two of the biggest reasons why you and I don't love as we are called to love. Because someone might take advantage of us. Someone might mistreat us. Someone just might not highly esteem us anymore. When we put ourselves into a position of service, someone might treat us like a servant. That's not fun. We don't want that. You bet I'm going to look out for you. I'm going to look out for you in a position of authority. I'm going to look out for you in a benevolent master sort of way. That is, I am above you, bestowing upon you gifts from my greatness. And yet that's not Jesus, is it? Jesus, knowing that God had given him everything, this is what he knew. What did he do with it? You guys know that scripture that says perfect love, or when love is perfected, all fear is cast out? You've heard that one, right? You see, perfect love drives out fear. I don't have to fear what anyone else might do to me when I completely love as God loves. Jesus could humble himself and wash his followers' feet. Jesus could humble himself and go to the cross and die for all of our sins because he knew on the other side of that grave, the voice of his Father would say, "Get up, my son, it's time to rule." Church, you do know that the Bible says that we will rule alongside them, right? And yet this time in the faith, this time where you and I are walking around trying to figure things out, what kind of people are we going to be? How much are we going to trust God? This is our testing ground for what kind of leaders we will actually be. In fact, the Bible says, who's going to give you any lasting wealth if you can't even take care of temporary wealth? Who's going to give you anything that lasts eternally if you can't even be good stewards of what I'm trying to give you that'll last an afternoon or a week or 40 years? We get confused sometimes, don't we? We lose our perspective. See, Peter didn't understand. And he said, but Jesus, I can't have you serve me like that. This is beneath you. I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm not going to allow you to serve me. And what is Jesus' response? Look, Peter, you don't understand this. You're going to get it later. And church, I think maybe that some of us are like Peter, that we're still sitting here and we don't get it. The only way to be saved by God is to allow God to serve us through the salvation that He provides through the sacrifice and the propitiation of His only Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we know. Now, what do we do about it? What we do is the same thing that Jesus does, is that those that He puts within our circle, our neighbors and our friends and our enemies and everyone that we are blessed to come into contact with, we serve in the same way. They may not get it now, but the only way to enjoy the salvation of Jesus is to be served by Jesus. The only way that those walking in darkness are going to enjoy the light that you and I walk in is when we actually share the light with them. There's no other way around it. We can't just sit here and say, hey, we're all in the light. Someone should really do something about all those stuck in the dark. Yeah, somebody. Somebody is me. That somebody is you. And how are we going to get them to see the light? We serve them. We serve them. Yeah, but Michael, they may not appreciate it. Okay. Did Jesus know that Judas was going to betray Him? Did He know? Did Judas get his feet washed? Ah, there it is. There it is. I think when Kevin read for us the end of chapter 12, when Jesus makes that bold proclamation, I didn't come here to judge. I came here to save. Church, if you and I, look, a lot of words are coming out of my mouth this morning. But in our hearts, if we could only hang on to, hey, we're not here to judge. We're here to show salvation. Do you imagine the change in the world if we just got that little nugget in here somewhere? We're not here to judge. Yeah, Michael, they're evil. They don't deserve my help. Who were you before Jesus found you? Yeah, but Michael, they might turn on us. They might hurt us. You know what happens to you after this body can no longer carry it anymore? I do. Do you know? I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that God has provided for us the solution for death. The resurrection from the dead, eternal life. You and I are not temporary. There's nothing to fear. Then he says in verse 17, he wraps all this up and he says, if you know these things, you're going to be happy when you finally start doing them. If you know the truth of God, because you know it is a frustrating, miserable place to be when you know the good that God calls you to do and yet you're still, Have you seen Christians who don't do it? You know, besides that person in the mirror you saw this morning, you've seen Christians that don't do it. Oh, we believe it, but we don't do it. How are they? They're miserable. How are we? We're miserable. When we're not doing it God's way, we're miserable because we know. We know. We know how we should be living. We know that we should be sacrificing ourselves. We know that we should be serving those around us, even those who would turn us into the authorities and have us killed. We know we should be washing their feet and serving them along with everyone else. But do we do it? Because that's where blessedness and happiness and joy come from. When we do the things that Jesus does. Continue in verse 21. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit. He testified, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. And one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned him, "Hey, psst, man, come here. Go ask Jesus who he's talking about. That'd be good information, right?" So the disciple, and that's John, the guy who wrote the thing, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, So, Lord, you can tell me. Who is it? You know, just between you and me. Who is it? Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So he dips the morsel of bread and he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Judas takes the morsel, Satan entered into him. And Jesus said to him, who do you think Jesus is talking to? Right to Satan, isn't he? Jesus has just washed his feet. Satan enters him to get him to do his evil, dirty work. Jesus looks him right in the eye and says, "What you're going to do, do quickly. Let's get this over with. Whatever it is you think you're going to do that's going to thwart God's plans for my life and for this creation, let's do it." You ever looked a demon in the eye? Whatever you got, let's kick this party off. Whatever you think you got, let's light this fuse. Because there's no fear here. There is no fear here because I am a temple of the living God. The Spirit of Jesus Christ dwells in me. I walk in light. And here's one thing I know. That darkness will not overcome the light. Now, if I dilly-dally, if I piddle, if I mess around in the darkness, then you better believe I can be overcome. But if I walk in the light, I can know this, that darkness will not be my problem. Oh, that whole judgment and justice thing, I might have a bad day on that day, but darkness will not be our problem. Whew. How do you like to stand up and be able to talk like that? In the face of Satan or any of his messengers or anyone that comes in his name, I'm going to love you and I'm going to serve you all the way till the end. What? What? Who does that? Who talks like that? Jesus. And hopefully his followers. Now, no one at the table knew why he had said this. Verse 29, some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the feast, or that he should get something for the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. So, Jesus knew that Satan would use Judas to get him killed. But knowing God had all things in control, he accepted the pain and suffering that evil would bring upon him. Patient endurance of insult and injury. You've heard the songs. Everybody knows love hurts, right? You open your heart to someone, you risk it being damaged, injured. You allow someone to get close to you, you put yourself in a vulnerable position to where they might take advantage. Look, and you don't have to talk about evil people. My wife and I are in a very vulnerable position with each other. We have said and declared before God and everyone else that we forsake all others and we will only be united to each other. And I know my wife better than anyone else in all of God's creation. And my wife knows me better than anyone else in all of God's creation. And yet from time to time, not out of love, but out of fear or whatever, from time to time I might say or do something to cause harm or pain to my wife. And yet my wife continues to love me. In fact, I would probably go so far as to say Sunny is very long-suffering in her marriage. She has endured insult and injury, and she loves me still. It's crazy beautiful when we do it God's way. Because I wouldn't trade my wife for anything or anyone. And I hope she feels the same for me. And it is dangerous, scary, and the greatest romance and really greatest experience you can ever have in the flesh is for someone to know you so well and for you to entrust yourself to someone else. And Jesus says, it's like that. So do it. He says, I've given you an example. Follow it. I've shown you what to do. Do it. Because just sitting around talking about it doesn't get it done. And just sitting around talking about it doesn't make any of us feel any better. You got to get out there and you got to do it. You got to put yourself in a vulnerable situation and say, I'm going to be long-suffering. I'm going to love this person. Yeah, but all they've ever done is been mean to you. And all they've ever done is made fun of you. And all they've ever done is said, oh, no thanks, and walked away from you. That's okay. I'm trying to be like Jesus here. I'm going to give them another chance. I'm going to be patient with them. Because that's what we do. That's what we do. So, after all of this, look how Jesus wraps this up, and we'll wrap it up too. Verse 31. When he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you. You'll seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, now I say to you, where I'm going, you can't go. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples. You have love for one another. Love requires sacrifice. Jesus loved the world, so he paid the price for our sins with his life. He was able to love, serve, and sacrifice because he knew that the Father had given him everything. So this morning, my invitation to you before we stand, I want you to think about what the Father has given you. I want you to think about what has the Father given to you. We know that God has saved our eternal souls so that we may love others enough to serve them. Love is greater than our sins. Love is greater than our fears. And because we know, we too may be long-suffering and love those around us. Let's stand together and sing.
Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna. Jesus died and rose again. In the river I will wade. There my sins are washed away. By the heaven's mercy stream of the Savior's love for me. Hosanna, Hosanna.
Jesus died and rose again. I will arise from waters deep to the saving arms of God. I will sing salvation songs. Jesus Christ has set me free. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again.
Please receive it.
Thank you, everybody, for making it today. It's a great worship service. Hope God thought so, too. Tyler and Bethany, is it their baby's being turned this weekend? Is that what they said? Is that what that means? Okay. That's a, Tori knows, that's a tough process, so pray for them. Keep them in your prayers. Jerry's mom was in the hospital. Is that both parents are in the hospital? Or is it just his mom? Because I know his mom blasted it out that his mom... Okay, but recovering. Okay. All right. So triple bypass? Good grief. All right. Triple bypass. The Sanders are homesick. Tony's back with us. That's awesome. Even though he's making a lot of noise over there. I'm kidding. It's awesome. I'm glad to see you. Robert and Janet are in Kansas. Pray for their trip. And Tori's dad is recovering. He's, I think they had two valve repairs, and he's doing well. So... anything else? Anybody else? Any other announcements? All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for making us a family. Thank you for giving us a place to worship you and a family to worship with. We pray that we spend our lives serving you, that we seek you out in everything, and that we find new things in your word every day. God, we pray that you be with everyone on this prayer list. Keep them safe. Keep them healthy. Keep them close to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.